Today's gospel lesson appears only in John's gospel, and in this gospel, sometimes referred to as the gospel of signs, the raising of Lazarus is Jesus' last sign or miracle before he makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on his way to the cross. As a matter of fact, the verses that come immediately after the last verse we just heard, which ended with "Unbind him and let him go," are these verses. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council and said, "What are we to do? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed." So from that day on, they planned to put Jesus to death. It is poignant that Jesus' last sign was to bring a person, Lazarus, back to life, just prior to his own death and resurrection. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. Here we see the humanity of Jesus that is seen nowhere else like this throughout Scripture. Jesus weeping. This is an emotionally profound testimony to the truth of the Incarnation. And yet, in the very same scene, we see the power of God in him that raises the dead to life. The human and the divine played out so beautifully. What an extraordinary scene. Ordering the stone to be taken away from the tomb, Jesus cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the man who has been dead for 4 days comes forth from the darkness in a sign of God's glory that death is overcome. A key issue is that resurrected life, according to this gospel, is not only a delayed reality, it is also a present reality. "I am the resurrection and the life," says Jesus. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. It is fitting that the readings for today are what they are. From the wisdom of Solomon, "The souls of the righteous are in the hands of God, and no torment will ever touch them." And from Revelation, "And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And from our gospel lesson this morning, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. All Saints' Day originated as a commemoration of Christian martyrs, which has led us to think of saints as those who have gone before us and who have lived remarkably faithful lives, who may have been killed for their faith. We think of saints as apostles, missionaries, monks, nuns, miracle workers, people who walk across the desert or feed birds out of the palms of their hands. And of course, they are saints. But in addition, the biblical understanding of a saint is one who is called to be faithful to God through Christ. At the time of the Reformation, the New Testament understanding of saint, as including all believers, was recovered, and All Saints' Day became a celebration of all faithful Christians. This day is for regular people, a day to celebrate regular people we remember in both our own lives, who have gone before us, and who have lived a life that has left and continues to leave an indelible mark on us. And it's a time to celebrate the saints in our lives today and the saints that will come after us. It is a time to celebrate and give thanks to those who have heard the good news of God's love, and have responded in faith to that good news. It is certainly an appropriate day to be welcoming a new saint of God, Michaela Sanzone, into the Christian faith, this household of God, this communion of common everyday saints. Baptism is the full initiation by water and the Holy Spirit into Christ's body, the church. In baptism, God adopts us, making us members of the church and inheritors of the kingdom of God. In baptism, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Today, we will welcome Michaela into this body of believers, this communion of saints who long to bring the love of Christ to others. Today, Michaela becomes an essential member of the body of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit in the water of baptism and marked as Christ's own forever, marked for good here in this community of faithful saints. She's actually watching me. Our baptisms signify the beginning of our Christian mission, and they signify God's beckoning call to us that we live our lives loving God and loving our neighbors. May we remember on this day and always those beloved saints who are near and dear to our hearts, who have gone before us, and may we go forth from this place honoring them by living our lives right now in such a way that someday, when we are no longer here, we will be remembered as common saints who heard the gospel message of Christ and responded in faith to that good news. In years to come, may we be remembered by others when they sing those familiar words that we just sang during our processional hymn this morning. For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confess thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen.